Thank you, Brother Dalton. Thank you, Miss Julia. Thank you, worship choir, so much this morning. Thank you for singing a carol that we know more by tune than we do by the lyrics. Amen. It is a popular carol, and it is even more so popular this day and age because of the tune rather than the lyrics. But as Dalton and I were talking in between services, you know, there's some deep theology. There are actually seven stanzas to this carol that we just sang. We sang three stanzas of this carol. The name of the carol is God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And my aim for this Sunday and next Sunday will be to take two familiar Christmas carols and use them as windows to examine theological truth that we find in Scripture. That is my intent today and again this coming Sunday. And in particular, we're going to learn a great deal about the truth of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. But before we get into the message of the carol and also the message of Scripture this morning, I just want to mention about Christmas carols. We hear them on the radio. We sing them. They're secular carols. There are Christian carols, of course. And Christmas carols became very popular during the medieval period of history. That would be like the 5th century AD to the 15th century AD. In fact, this particular Christmas carol, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, we believe was written in the 1400s. So that's a long time ago. We don't know who actually wrote this particular Christmas carol, but there is some good theology in the Christmas carol. The message of the carol itself is very solid scripturally. So whoever wrote it did a good job as they wrote this particular Christmas carol. We do know it was first published in 1833 in a work that was entitled Christmas Carols, Ancient and Modern. It was published by William B. Sandys in 1833. And I want to mention to you this carol, again, written in the 1400s, was written in what's known as traditional Old English. That's old with an E, Old English. And in the very first line, which we sang, God rest you, merry gentlemen. God rest ye, I'll use the Old English. God rest ye, merry gentlemen. And so in the very first line of this Christmas carol, when we sing it today, God rest ye, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. When we sing that, we think about rest, and we think about kicking up our heels, taking it easy, you know, chilling, those kind of, that's what we tend to think about when we think about rest. When you think about merry, you think about happiness and joy and excitement, those, especially happiness and joy, kind of is wrapped up in our understanding of the word merry. But when you go back to the traditional Old English that this carol was written in back in supposedly the 1400s, that's not what came to mind as people sang the carol originally. In fact, you could translate it this way: God make you strong, gentlemen. The word rest in that Old English meant actually to make, and merry means strong. So God make ye strong, gentlemen, is really the first line in the meaning of this Christmas carol. God make you strong, gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. Notice this, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort. That's what we need today, beloved. Comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Oh, tidings, news. Tidings is news. News of comfort and joy. And that's what I pray that we will receive this morning. God make you strong, gentlemen. The question I'm going to try to answer this morning for us from the carol, but primarily from the Scripture, is going to be this question. Why should I be strong in light of the context of this Christmas carol? And more importantly, why should I be strong in light of the Scripture that we're about to read? You see, God rest ye, merry gentlemen, is actually a poetic rendering of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. It's a poetic rendering of Luke chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you will turn with me to the Gospel of Luke this Christmas season, the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, I want to read for us verses 8 through 20, and then try to answer that question, why should we be strong? And also answer along the way, how can we be strong? Luke chapter 2, verse 8, very familiar story. In fact, at our Crawford Faith Family Christmas this Wednesday night, we're going to have Christmas carols, and some may sing some special music. Let Brother Dalton know. We can work that in. But we're going to have a great time as we carry on our Crawford tradition, not on Sunday night this year, but on Wednesday night. This Wednesday night, we have a members meeting right at 6:30 to deal with two issues. And then we will move right into our Crawford Faith Family Christmas this Wednesday night at 6:30. It's going to be a great time. We won't have the kids come on the stage this year due to COVID-19. But we're still going to do what we typically do, just in a slightly different format. At this Wednesday night, so we're going to bring everybody in here on Wednesday night at 6:30, and it's going to be good. But you'll hear the same type story, of course, on Wednesday night as we focus on children and the message of Christmas again. But today, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Notice what the Holy Spirit led Luke to write. Verse 8. And in the same region, that would be near Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." In fact, Luke 2, verses 10 and 11, those are our memory verses for this week, Crawford Faith Family. What beautiful verses. We're going to focus on those in our message today. Verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now notice this. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, that's a bunch, of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. That is, they hurried. They went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Would you bow with me as we pray this morning? And our Father and our God, we do bow before you. And Father, as we have heard and worshiped through music this morning, Christmas music, Lord, we are reminded of your great love for us. We are reminded, O God, of your faithfulness and our unfaithfulness. And so, Father, today we come weak. We come wicked. We come in need of grace and mercy. And Father, I pray that through your Holy Spirit today working in our minds and hearts, that you would help us understand that you are, as our choir sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are separate and distinct from us. You are in a category all to yourself, Lord. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. you are perfect in every way. Righteous, just, merciful, gracious, all-powerful, everywhere present, all-knowing. Lord, you are happy. You are a happy God. You are, I say, you are sufficient in yourself. And because you are perfect and righteous, and because we are unrighteous and unholy, and we are sinners, Father. Father, I have no way of even accessing you, coming before your presence, where I would not be obliterated by your holiness and your glory, except for the Christ whom you sent for us. Father, you have so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, so that whoever will believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you, Father. Father, help us as worshipers today to grasp this truth of your holiness, of your righteousness, and of your grace, and of your mercy. Help us to see Christmas, the beautiful story of how you sent forth your Son when the fullness of time had come, right on your calendar, the very month, the very day, the very minute you had predestined him to come, he came. Not 1 minute early and not 1 minute late. And he has been on time, and he is on time for time and eternity. Oh, Father, help us comprehend these truths. And Father, I pray for those who are here who need Christ. Father, would you open blind eyes, take out hearts of stone, and replace them with hearts of flesh that are tender to you, that long for you, that want to obey you and love you and serve you. Oh, Father, save the lost sinners today. Father, strengthen us. As this Christmas carol, God rest ye merry gentlemen. God, make us strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, Father, help me as I seek to open the word of life now to these who are here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's been a good day. Amen. And this morning in Luke chapter 2, if you'll keep your Bibles open, Luke chapter 2, and as we continue our message today, I want to answer the question that I posed to us. Why should we be strong in light of this Christmas carol, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, and why should we be strong in light of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 in particular? And so if you will look back to Luke chapter 2, look back in verse 8 for a moment. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. That's grace. God initiated this contact. God did not have to do this. God, by his grace, initiated speaking to shepherds of all people. But he says here, as the angel came, the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. So there's a brightness, a glory radiating around this angel of the Lord, this one angel of the Lord. And they, that's the shepherds, were filled with great fear. That's the typical response to angels. When angels did materialize in front of human beings, they usually had to say, don't be afraid, fear not, and get up. Because normally they were very fearful and they fell to the ground before the angels. And so notice verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold. In other words, don't fear, don't be afraid, but why? I mean, just think, two angels wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah with no problem. Didn't break a sweat. All right? God doesn't need angels to wipe us out. But they're powerful creatures. But notice what the angel said to the shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Why is that? Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let me say, why should we be strong? Well, number one, because we're weak. Because we need the Lord. We need His strength. We need His power. We need His wisdom. I am praying, I am beseeching the Lord to save the lost. And I pray that you will join me in that prayer, that God will save the lost, that God would, again, open blind eyes, that God would grant regeneration, spiritual life to men, women, and young people who are walking in darkness today. Christmas means there is darkness. Christmas means there is sin. Christmas means there is judgment. Christmas means there's an eternity separated from the love and grace of God. But Christmas also means that there is light. Christmas also means that there is salvation. Christmas also means there is hope. There is forgiveness. For whoever and whatever you have done, there is hope. There is no sin too great for which the blood of Christ cannot wash away and make you whole and clean in the eyes of God. You see, we have hope today, and maybe you're in this room and you're on a high mountain today, and you're singing Christmas carols all the time, and your Christmas cookies came out just right, and your candy canes are just delicious, and everything is going great for you. And maybe you're in this room this morning and your heart is heavy, your heart is burdened, your heart is concerned, your heart is troubled. Listen, this scripture and this message is for you. Christmas is for you. Christmas gives us hope. And so why should we be strong? Well, number one, be strong because the incarnation of Jesus is good news. We need to understand this. The word incarnation literally means in the flesh. We see we must understand this at the beginning of the message this morning. God is a triune God. We're going to see this as we go through the message today. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Holy Spirit. God three in one. Amen. That's where this word Trinity is given to us in order to help us try to grasp our God. And so as best we can, we're going to seek to grasp a better understanding of our awesome God. But we need to be strong because the incarnation, that is when the eternal Son of God took upon Himself humanity. He took upon Himself manhood. He became a male. He became a living, breathing human being. He is truly God and He is truly man at the same time. This is mystery. We can never truly understand or comprehend how the eternal God, the one who is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, could also reduce Himself to the form of a little baby. And at the same time, He is fully baby, totally dependent upon Joseph and Mary. I mean, if they did not care for Him, the child would die. I mean, they have to feed Him, love Him, change Him, if you know what I mean. And yet at the exact same time, because He is eternally God, He is omniscient, He is omnipotent, He is ruling and reigning His universe. He fills every inch of every space of creation. And at the same time, mysteriously, in a way that we can't fully comprehend, He's also the helpless babe in the manger. The incarnation. You see, we can be strong this morning, beloved, because the incarnation is good news. And in our text, the angel said to them, to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, Luke loves that word messenger, angelos, angel. He uses it 12 times in the Gospel of Luke, not to mention the times he references angels in the book of Acts. But listen, the gospel is good news, beloved, because the gospel frees us. I want you to notice in the first stanza of what we sang today. It says, God rest ye merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. Notice this purpose clause. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. We sang the fourth stanza this morning. Listen to the words of the fourth stanza. There's seven altogether. Fourth stanza. Fear not then, said the angel. Let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bright. To free all those who trust in Him from Satan's power and might. O tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. You see, the gospel is good news because it frees us. It frees us from our sin. It frees us from the bondage, the tyranny, and the slavery in which Satan holds us bound because of our sin. This is what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to destroy the works of the devil. I would love for you to hold your place in Luke chapter 2. We're coming right back to it, but I'd love for you to flip over in the New Testament for a moment. It's worth the trip, I promise, right? If you're going to learn, you got to turn. If you're going to grow, you got to go. Amen. So Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I want you to see verses 13 through 15. Colossians chapter 2. Remember, Gentiles eat pork chops, right? We preach through Genesis, so we hadn't been in the epistles lately, right? Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Notice what Paul is writing to the Christians at Colossae and to Christians throughout time. Verse 13, Paul says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Now, that statement is bad news. See, we don't have, Christmas is bad news, but it's also good news. And the bad news is we are sinners. The bad news is we're separated from God. The bad news is, as it says here in verse 13, you were dead, spiritually dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. That's referencing no regeneration, no spiritual life. We're alive to sin and dead to God before we're saved. That's who we are. And so, but notice he writes this in past tense in verse 13 because he's writing to the church. Amen? He's writing to those who have been saved. He's writing to those who have been transferred, right, from the kingdom of the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son, as He says in Colossians 1:13. See, that's who He's writing to. That's the context of the letter. So you who were, past tense, dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Notice this now. God made alive together with Him. What in the world is that talking about? Well, God there, of course, is a reference to God the Father, right? God the Father made alive. His initiative, by His grace, God the Father makes us alive together with Him. Who's the Him? Christ. Amen? If you need more information, go to Ephesians chapter 2, and you'll see a little expanded version of this condensed verse here in Colossians chapter 2. So you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, how did we get saved? God initiated. God made us His own. God has come into our lives through His grace, through the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus. God makes us alive together with Christ. Notice this, having forgiven us all our trespasses. All those times when we have transgressed and we have done what God has commanded us not to do, all those sins and transgressions and trespasses. Notice that He says here, having forgiven us most of our trespasses. No. He's forgiven us all of our trespasses. That is beyond comprehension to me. See, I know me better than you know me. And I know I wouldn't want me on the team. But God did. and God made me alive in Christ. And in doing that, I receive forgiveness, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Notice this, verse 14. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. You see, God is holy and righteous and just, and our sins must be punished. And Christ has suffered for sinners on the cross. And so God's justice is fulfilled in Christ. Every sin, as Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say, every sin will either be pardoned in Christ or punished in hell. Those are the two options. And here, Paul is writing saying, hey, to you who are now made alive by God in Christ, your sins are forgiven. That record of debt has been canceled with all of its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. You see, we can be strong because all of our sins are forgiven in Christ. Amen. But I want you to notice in verse 15, he disarmed, this is God now. We see the work of the Trinity in our salvation. God the Father, he disarmed the rulers and authorities. This is referencing angels and demons, particularly in this case, the demons, right? The bad guys, Satan and those who follow him. He has disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So God the Father has done this in and through the work of his eternal Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. And listen to me. Jesus Christ triumphing over Satan is good news. It is good news that God keeps his promise. It is good news that God's covenant is sure and amen. It is good news that God can be trusted. It is good news that history has a design. It has a direction. It has a goal. And God is in charge of his story, of history. Amen. It is good news because God is determined to save a people for himself. Out of the masses of people, God is determined that in Christ, through Christ, he will save a people for himself. That is good news. We saw the video about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year and featuring Thailand. And the millions of people who will be lost in Thailand. You know, spiritual darkness abounds today. And the good news that those people need through those medical clinics, which, by the way, we help support through our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Every dollar given to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes to help the missionaries in the field around the world through the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Those people need that debt erased. They need to be set free from the powers of Satan, as we sing in the Christmas carol, to free all those who trust in him, who trust in Christ, from Satan's power and might. That is what they need, and that is what is available to them through the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a world that is so full of bad news, the gospel is good news. Jesus Christ saves sinners. And so if you are here this morning, cast yourself upon the mercy of God. Cry out to Christ, Lord, save me, change me, fill me, Holy Spirit. Cry out to God. Turn from your sin. There's no simple ABC in salvation. It is being humbled by God. It is being brought before the Lord, and you fall on your face before him in humility and in contrition and in brokenness over your sin. You realize that you have sinned. You realize that you have transgressed the laws of God. You have trespassed against God. You have crossed the line. You have stood as a rebel with a clenched fist in the face of Almighty, holy, just, loving God. God, and you have said, I will do things my way. And when you realize that and you turn from your own sinful, selfish way, then you cast yourselves upon the mercy of God in Christ, and he will make you alive together in Christ. That is how that miracle takes place. In this world of bad news, we need to proclaim the good tidings of Christ. Christ is born for you today. As Miss Brianna sang today, what a beautiful song. Come, those who are unfaithful. That's us. But God is faithful. Christmas means God is faithful. Listen, today, no matter how low you may be, how broken, how weighted down, how distressed, and many in this room are, We've heard prayer requests of a member whose father died from COVID yesterday. Another gentleman who is nearing the end of his journey on this earth due to sickness. It's been a long time in coming, Mr. Rao. Families burdened, weeping, crying, saddened. Death is an enemy. No matter how low we may be, no matter whether we're on that top of that mountain when the sun is shining brightly, or if we're down in a deep, dark, narrow valley with very little sun, if any, we're moving through that spiritual darkness. We're trying to make it through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, God will meet us where we are. And we need to be strong because, listen, the incarnation is good news. The fact that God left heaven and came to the earth as a man and lived a perfect, righteous life, whereas you and I have not done that one day of our life, not on the best day of our life have we done that. But He came and fulfilled in active obedience everything that God requires of you and me. That is why He was as on the cross in passive obedience. As He suffered and died, He was totally righteous as He died for our sins on that cross. So be strong, beloved, because the incarnation is good news. Number two, be strong because the good news is for all the peoples. Whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whatever you might be. This is good news for Americans and Africans and Asians and Europeans and South Americans. And it's good news for all 7.4 billion people on planet Earth today. Notice again our text, if you would, there in Luke chapter 2. If you'll go back to Luke chapter 2 and in verse 10, the angel said to them, "Fear not." Why? "For behold, I want you to see that. I'm laying it out before you. I'm declaring something. Behold this. I bring you good news of great joy." Notice it. "That will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Number two, be strong because the message of good news is for all peoples. The gospel of Jesus is good news for all peoples. If you'll flip a page, at least in my Bible it's a page, Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 29. Luke chapter 2, verse 29. Can you do that? Flip a page. And I want you to see what Simeon proclaims to the Lord. Notice what Simeon proclaims to the Lord. He's been waiting for the consolation of Israel, and God had told him through the Holy Spirit that he will not see death until he has seen the Lord's Christ. That's what it says there in verse 26 of Luke chapter 2. So the Holy Spirit had given this man, Simeon, a promise. And then in comes this little baby being brought into the temple with his parents to officially name him, as was according to the custom of the law. And Simeon took this little baby up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, this is verse 29 now, Luke 2:29. "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." What's he talking about? His eyes have seen the baby. His eyes have seen the one who will come as the Passover lamb, who will give his blood for the salvation of sinners. Verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." 31, "That you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." You see, God's plan has never been just to save this little bunch. It's been to save people from all tribes and languages and peoples and nations on this earth. You see, the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16-17 can say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. For in it," that is, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is being revealed from faith to faith. Amen? That's Romans 1:16-17. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, I want you to listen to this. Here we have the scene in heaven in Revelation chapter 5, and we have singing. And here's what the scripture says, Revelation 5:9. "Worthy are you to take the scroll," speaking now to the Lamb, to Jesus, "worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God And so here we see them speaking of the historical incarnation and then crucifixion of Jesus Christ on a cross in time, in history. Jesus Christ was slain, and by his blood he has ransomed people for God. Notice this now in Revelation 5:9, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You see, four descriptors there. Four, the four corners of the earth. Four being the number of the earth. Every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. And you've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. This is why the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is important. This is why that ministry in Thailand is important. This is why the video we highlighted last week in our worship services are important. This is why it's important that we pray and give the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. It's because people need Christ. They are bound by their sin, and they are bound by the forces of darkness and Satan, and they need redemption. They need salvation. The gospel is good news for all the peoples of the world. You also need Jesus. Not just walking an aisle, not just signing a card, not just saying a prayer, but you need Jesus to come and transform your heart and your mind. If you'll go back with me to Luke chapter 2, you may still be there anyway, but Luke chapter 2, look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, notice this, a Savior, one who redeems you, one who rescues you. Notice, this Savior is Christ. The title Christ means the anointed one of God. He's the one promised from Genesis 3:15 forward in Scripture. He's the one who will be empowered in his humanity by the Holy Spirit of God himself. And so he is God's anointed one. He's the Lord's Christ. And he's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's Yahweh. He's sovereign ruler of the universe. He's never caught off guard. The Holy Trinity never meets in emergency session. But Jesus is the Savior, the Rescuer. He is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the one who is promised in the Old Testament Scripture. And he is the Lord. He is the ruler of our lives. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus says. And so the question is, yes, this is good news for all the peoples of the world. All the peoples of the world. But it's good news for you if you will hear and repent and believe to free all those who what? Who trust in him. To free us from Satan's power and might. He will cancel the record of our sin debt against God, and he will set us free from the spirit, the domain of darkness, as Paul calls it in Colossians chapter 1. So have you personally experienced the Christ of Christmas? Are you walking with him? Are you in Christ? Are you abiding in him and he abiding in you? You see, we can be strong because the incarnation is good news. And we can be strong because the message of good news is for all peoples. But number three, we can be strong because the message of good news, listen, is for your joy. It's for your joy. If you look back at our verses, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, we can be strong because the message of good news is for your joy. I mean, don't you want joy? Of course you do. Do you want to be happy? Of course you do. But you see, this joy is deeper than simply happiness. You see, boys and girls will be happy on Christmas when they get what they've requested. They'll be happy for a little bit. And then they won't be happy. Oftentimes the toys are lying on the side and they're moved on to something else. But even if the toy satisfies them for a day or 2 days or a week or a year, that's not going to give them true happiness. You see, this joy that Jesus promises his believers is a deep, abiding joy that even at a graveside, with tears streaming down your face, you can have a joy deep in your soul. You see, the joy that this scripture talks about, good news of great joy that will be for all the people in Luke 2:10. This great joy is a joy that some would have even in a graveside, in the ICU unit of a hospital, in a home filled with turmoil and strife, in a job, in a workplace where there's difficulty and problems and people playing favorites, and you're not in that key group. But there can still be an abiding joy in your heart because of Christ indwelling you through the Holy Spirit. You see, God created you to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him, God, forever. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken to you. He says that my joy may be in you. The joy of Christ may be in us. And that your joy may be full, overflowing. Even when there's difficulty, even when there are troubles, even when the prognosis is not good, even when the news is extremely alarming and troubling and difficult, even when the family dynamic and relationships are strained or even broken and hurting, and there's fear and trouble in the heart and in the family and in the marriage, on the job or in the church, wherever it may be, the joy of Christ will sustain us. And your joy may be full. You see, Jesus' dying concern, one of them, ultimately the glory of God. But one of Jesus' concerns was that we might know joy. That's what he tells us in John 15 as he's on the way to the cross. These things have I spoken to you that my joy may be in you. And he's talking about joy. He's getting ready to go sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's talking about joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the sufferings of the cross. And so Jesus desires for you and me as his followers to have joy. This is the kind of joy that the world and persecution and opposition and troubles and trials can't snatch away. This is the kind of joy that comes from knowing that we are embraced in the love of God that has demonstrated itself, proven itself by sending Jesus into the world to save sinners. Can you this morning honestly say, I am embraced by the love of God in Christ? This is what we mean by Christmas. This is why we are to proclaim the good tidings or the good news that will be of great joy to all the people. You see, we need, brothers and sisters, this message. We must preach this good news to ourselves and proclaim it in love to the lost. And we proclaim the good news that the just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people. That's us. Apart from Christ, that's us. He looked upon hopelessly sinful people. And what did he do? He sent. When we want to run from the hard times, when we want to run from the tough decisions, when we want to run from what we know is best, but it's hard, What does God do? God, in that fullness of time, sends forth His Son, Jesus Christ, into this evil, sinful world. He sent His only Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. There's the incarnation. God in human flesh, as you see on the screen, right? To bear His wrath against our sin on the cross and to show His power over sin by resurrecting Jesus from the dead so that everyone who turns from their sin, that's repentance, and believes in Him, in Christ, as faith, will be reconciled, made one with God forever. This is what Christmas is all about. May God make us strong in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I've been teaching through 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7 in the last few Wednesday nights in my Bible study group. What a beautiful verse. And be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You see, we can't live this life in our own strength. We are the unfaithful. We are the weak. We are the wicked apart from God's grace. But by God's grace, we've been made alive together in Christ and with Christ. And it is through His abiding within us that He lives the Christian life in and through us. Christ has chosen to make your life His home. That is Christmas. That is the message we need. Would you bow your heads with me this morning as we conclude? Let me pray for us. Then we'll have a time of response this morning.